Hello, this is Howard Gunning and WJLY's Lamplighter Program. Today we're going to finish up our conversation with Bill Hyde of Heirloom Audio Productions. Sure hope you've been enjoying the last couple days. Let's hear what else is going on up there in Thompson, Illinois.
The story is a very warm story because it's a family story in the midst of this. So it kind of reminds me, the kids in the story remind me of the Von Trapps. And Sound of Music. And so filming, doing the trailer for this was really amazing. Being in the studio, just hanging out, was remarkable because there were some moments that, you know, I found a tear in my own eye, and I know, and I already know the script, right? But I'm in the studio, and I'm feeling, you know, John Rhys Davies as the father, and I'm kind of feeling what it's like to see these incredible tensions, and it almost, you know, create a little bit of a breakdown for me.
Well, let's shift gears for just a second. Your audio ventures aren't just for entertainment purposes. You've developed a curriculum to go along with your audio ventures. So some of our homeschoolers, we have a lot of homeschoolers in our listening audience. Tell us a little about the curriculum that you've developed to go along with your adventures.
Well, one of the other problems that I see every day is that families, again, back to that issue, all of us wearing headphones and all of us going, watching different programs and all of us never being on the same page. And so what my hope would be is that families would listen to stories like this together. And then I've developed some curriculum, and there's two different really levels of that. One is the curriculum that people get free with it, and it's just a bunch of opportunities to interact. It's questions for parents to discuss with their kids at these really, you know, leveraged moments that happen in the story. And I think it's important to see, to use the Bible as a measure against what's going on. And so the Bible is the standard by which we use these questions, and so we try to get people, pushing kids back to biblical solutions, and actually their parents too that listen to it, just giving them a little bit of help about how to kind of ask questions and have a dialogue about stuff that's really actually greater than the story, but the story is what can trigger the conversation. So in the Robert E. Lee story that we did, of course, just to give you an example, there's obviously the issue of slavery comes up, and so not being afraid to address that biblically, it's in our curriculum, it's in our study questions. And then we try to also, we're working on curriculums that are a little more deep, that you could actually use to teach. And we have one done for the King Alfred story that actually could be used as a homeschool or Christian school curriculum. So it's quite a bit deeper than that. But we're very excited about providing those tools as well, because I think that's part of this world and life view thing that we're trying to inculcate. And if we're going to get at the next generation, we better arm them with the right worldview, or we're going to lose them.
Yeah.
Most of the kids that go to church, listeners know this, the studies, the Barna studies and all that is, you know, I think undeniable. You know, more kids that leave the church when they go out and go to college never come back ever. And I think it's because, you can blame the college, you can blame this, but I think it's because we don't arm them to go out, and if our Christianity is either cheesy, like we mentioned before, veneer thin, or we're not ready for what's going to come at us because we've never addressed those things with our kids, then our kids leave and intelligent professors ask them questions no one's ever brought up before.
Yeah.
So they have no answers. So therefore, they think their parents have no answers, their pastors have no answers, and that, of course, is not always true. So my passion is to arm, really, at the end of the day, arm the next generation for really doing battle in a world that's a little confused, and that way they can not only resist the temptations and the intellectual temptations of other philosophies, vain philosophies, as Paul, the Apostle Paul would say, but then also be a little bit of a light themselves to be able to help other people. And I think that's the only way we can get this country back to where it used to be.
Well, tell me, Bill, what's going on now in 2017? What's your goal for Heirloom Audio this year?
Well, we've got a number of pieces that we're working on. This one that I was talking about before, because this is another interesting part of it. We kind of went with the flow of G.A. Henty's life. So he came here to investigate why 600,000 people had to die in the Civil War. Hmm. And so he did it. He was like a little bit of a journalist or a little bit of a detective, when in his world, he had guys like Wilbur Wilberforce,
right,
and friends that solved that problem biblically without firing a shot. And the implications of the Civil War and all of the racism and all the crazy stuff that goes back and forth today, it's still alive. The issues are still alive. And it didn't have to happen necessarily. And so he came to this country to investigate that as a Brit. And then after he spent some time talking to people on both sides of the war, he went west towards the gold fields because that was the rush at the time. And so if there was some action someplace, Henty had to be there. And so he went to the gold fields. And this is a story about, you know, chasing something and what is it that you're chasing. And there's a lot of amazing grace in this story, including that song being sung around a campfire at the end. You're going to want to hear that, and it's with your family for sure.
And this is called Captain Bailey's Heir.
And then we've got Wolf the Saxon coming out, and The Lion of the North. And, you know, we got a full schedule, and we're pretty excited about the productions and the story opportunities that we have. I did want to tell you one other thing, and that I thought that you might get a kick out of, and it's from our new In the Reign of Terror production. And this happened by accident, you know, I would say in God's good providence. So you mentioned Jill Freud. She's in one of the characters in it. And I just got to tell you this story because it's just, these are the things that happened to me in London that you couldn't predict. And they're interesting and fun and transformational. So I'm working with a gal in the studio playing one of our parts in The Reign of Terror. And her name is Jill Freud. Jill's in her upper 80s and she's still acting. She's amazing. I started talking to her a little bit. So I found out that she knew C.S. Lewis. Well, it turns out that she got moved out during World War II as a youngster out of London during the bomb, and her parents set her out into the countryside, and she was at one of the Oxford professor's houses, and then he actually passed away from a heart attack or illness or something. And at the end, at some point, she found herself actually living with C.S. Lewis.
Is that right? Wow.
And yeah, but it gets better. That she got a call from the family of C.S. Lewis just a couple years ago. Okay. So keep in mind, she's in her 80s, and she just got a call a couple years ago. And they said they must have found some papers or something that Lewis had written. They said, Jill, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but you're the character that Lucy was based on in the Chronicles of Narnia.
Really?
You were Lucy. And so she found that out late in life, and then I did a little research about her, too. Found out that Lewis said that she was the most selfless person that he'd ever met in his life, and it goes even further. Lewis paid for her acting school, actress school, whatever you want to call it, and as the connection goes, I wouldn't have even met Jill if it wasn't for Lewis paying for her, because she became an actress because he saw that in her and encouraged her. She went to acting school, became an actress, and he paid for it. Here I am working with this gal, and we talked about C.S. Lewis, and we walked out into the hall when we were done, and one of my buddies is in the Henty Society over there, Dennis Butts. He's out there. He's an older guy. Well, they start talking because he was one of Lewis's students.
Oh, my goodness.
In class. You know what? He was one of Lewis's students. So those two people start talking. And, I mean, I couldn't believe it. I felt like I was in, it was surreal. Because Lewis is always, you know, you read Mere Christianity or whatever it is, Screwtape Letters, and you're going, this guy's really got his act together. One last thing, you can keep this in or edit it out, whatever. But I did say to her, well, he had to have his bad days, because when he went to Christianity from being like a leading atheist in this community of intellectuals, she said it was terrible. So he took abuse from, you know, the intelligentsia, and that helped him in some ways because it girded him up, but some days he came back pretty beat up.
Yeah.
Some days we get beat up as Christians, right, because we don't have always answers. And I said, well, what does a guy like C.S. Lewis do when he gets stressed out? You know, you mentioned the stress of getting these productions done, and you know, there's a lot of pills that people take, and there's lots of books on how to be stressed, and there's classes and exercise and everything you do. So I said, well, what's a guy like C.S. Lewis do when he gets stressed out? And she said, well, he would come back from the college, get his overcoat, he would get the leash, hook up Bruce, and walk until he felt better. So he would just take his dog for a walk. So there's a simple stress release tip. Uh-huh. Your listeners didn't expect that, right? But here's a stress release tip from directly from London, from someone who knew C.S. Lewis, right to you. Get your dog, take him for a walk. Don't come back till you feel less stressed.
That is so funny. That's more than just coincidence. I think that's the hand of God working throughout the ages. You know, when you think about it, Lewis has been gone since 63, and here you are working with folks who were directly impacted by his life and impacting ours as well.
Yeah, I get goosebumps right now, Howard, talking to you, and I got goosebumps just talking about it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And, yeah.
Well, Bill, Kim set me up for a 15-minute interview, and I've got you down. My clock says we've been talking for almost 40 minutes, so I don't want to take more of your time than I should. So I really, once again, appreciate the ministry of Heirloom Audio and your ministry up there in Thompson, Illinois. We want to thank you guys and encourage you to keep on plugging on with those stories, and I'm looking forward to getting my hands on Captain Bailey's Air and the other ones as they come out this year.
Well, thank you, Howard, for your kind words, and I really appreciate your time, too, and it's always fun being with you and talking to you.